hear from the stories of the magician. So if you could have some of that. There are some... Rob is our neighbour. So he's coming for the first time to his gathering. Rob likes Buddhism and used to be a lecturer in philosophy and psychology.
Excellent.
And then some other neighbours, we have Alberto and his wife, Sarah. They're from Brazil. And they're very close friends of Javi in Kirtan. So they're like Kirtan.
And I was just in Brazil a couple of months back.
And Lydia is from a village not so far away from Leicester.
Small town.
Like
town.
Yeah. And Lydia likes cows.
Yes.
Anyone who's a friend of cows is a friend of mine.
And welcome to everybody else who are part of our regular community of devotees. Thank you very much for coming. Jade Radhaswami is a senior teacher within the Hare Krishna movement. He was one of the foremost editors of Swami Prabhupada in terms of book publication. And now Swamiji kind of travels to different parts of the world, but right now he's spending a lot more of his time in Africa, doing a lot of publishing in a variety of African languages. And Maharaj is here for the weekend, and this evening we've just positioned it as general questions and answers, and whichever direction you'd like to take us in. So,
okay.
Maharaj, thank you very much.
So, shall we read a little of Krishna's pastimes first?
Yeah. The book's just
the book's here. We have a place.
Is there a place or anywhere?
No place. I make too many decisions. Or I'm indecisive.
It's the first page that opened.
Okay, well, that's always a good. This is chapter 17. Extinguishing the forest fire. King Parikshit, after hearing of the chastisement of Kaliya, okay, we need a little background. Kaliya was an obnoxious serpent, poisonous serpent who had been polluting the river Jamuna, and Krishna punished him and drove him out. So now King Parikshit, who's hearing the pastimes of Krishna, is asking about more. King Parikshit, after hearing of the chastisement of Kaliya, inquired from Shukadeva Goswami as to why Kaliya left his beautiful land and why Garuda was so antagonistic to him. Shukadeva Goswami informed the king that the island known as Nagalia was inhabited by serpents and that Kaliya was one of the chief serpents there. Being accustomed to eating snakes, Garuda used to come to this island and kill many serpents at will. Some of them he actually ate, but some were unnecessarily killed. The reptile society became so disturbed that their leader Vasuki appealed to Lord Brahma for protection. Lord Brahma made an arrangement by which Garuda would not create a disturbance. On each half-moon day, the reptile community would offer a serpent to Garuda. The serpent was to be kept underneath a tree as a sacrificial offering to Garuda. Garuda was satisfied with this offering, and therefore he did not disturb any other serpents. But gradually, Kaliya took advantage of this situation. He was unnecessarily puffed up by the volume of his accumulated poison, as well as by his material power. And he thought, Why should Garuda be offered this sacrifice? He then ceased offering any sacrifice. Instead, he himself ate the offering intended for Garuda. When Garuda, the great devotee carrier of Vishnu, understood that Kaliya was eating the offered sacrifices, he became very angry and rushed to the island to kill the offensive serpent. Kaliya tried to fight Garuda and faced him with his many-hooded serpent, and poisonous sharp teeth. Kaliya attempted to bite him, and Garuda, the son of Tarksha, in great anger and with great force, befitting the carrier of Lord Vishnu, struck the body of Kaliya with his effulgent golden wings. Kaliya, who was also known as Kadrusuta, son of Kadru, immediately fled to the lake known as Kaliyahrad, which lay within the Jamuna River and which Garuda could not approach. Kaliya took shelter within the water of the Jamuna for the following reason. Just as Garuda went to the island of the Kaliya snake, he also used to go to the Jamuna to catch fish to eat. There was, however, a great yogi known as Sobhari Muni, who used to meditate within the water there, and who was sympathetic with the fish. He asked Garuda not to come there and disturb the fish. Although Garuda was not under anyone's order, being the carrier of Lord Vishnu, he did not disobey the order of the great yogi. Instead of staying and eating many fish, he carried off one big fish, who was their leader. Sobhari Muni was sorry that one of the leaders of the fish was taken away by Garuda, and thinking of their protection, he cursed Garuda with the following words. Henceforward, from this day, if Garuda comes here to catch fish, then, I say this with all my strength, he will be immediately killed. This curse was known only to Kaliya. Kaliya was therefore confident that Garuda would not be able to come there, and so he thought it wise to take shelter of the lake within the Jamuna. But Kaliya's taking shelter of Sobhari Muni was not successful. He was driven away from the Jamuna by Krishna, the master of Garuda. It may be noted that Garuda is directly related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is so powerful that he is never subject to anyone's order or curse. Actually, the cursing of Garuda, who is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam to be of the stature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, was an offense on the part of Sobhari Muni. Although Garuda did not try to retaliate, the Muni was not saved from his offensive act against a great Vaishnava personality. Due to this offense, Sobhari fell down from his yogic position and afterwards became a householder, a sense enjoyer in the material world. The fall down of Sobhari Muni, who was supposed to be absorbed in spiritual bliss by meditation, is an instruction to the offender of Vaishnavas. When Krishna finally came out of Kaliya's lake, he was seen by all his friends and relatives on the bank of the Jamuna. He appeared before them, nicely decorated, smeared all over with chandan pulp, bedecked with valuable jewels and stones, and almost completely covered with gold. The inhabitants of Vrindavan, including the cowherd boys and men, the gopis, Mother Jashoda, Maharaj Nanda, and all the cows and calves, saw Krishna coming from the Jamuna, and it was as though they had recovered their very life. When a person regains his life, naturally he becomes absorbed in pleasure and joyfulness. They each in turn pressed Krishna to their chests, and thus they felt a great relief.
Mother Yashoda, Rohini, Maharaj Nanda, and the cowherd man became so happy that as they embraced Krishna, they thought they had achieved their ultimate goal of life. Balaram also embraced Krishna, but he was laughing, because when everyone else had been so overwhelmed with anxiety, he had known what would happen to Krishna. All the trees on the bank of the Jamuna, along with all the cows, bulls, and calves, were full of pleasure because of Krishna's appearance there. The Brahmin inhabitants of Vrindavan immediately came with their wives to congratulate Krishna and his family members. And because Brahmins are considered to be the spiritual masters of society, they offered their blessings to Krishna and his family on account of Krishna's release. They also asked Maharaj Nanda to give them some charity on that occasion. Being so pleased by Krishna's return, Maharaj Nanda gave many cows and much gold in charity to the Brahmins. While Nanda Maharaj was thus engaged, Mother Yashoda simply embraced Krishna and made him sit on her lap while she shed tears continuously. Since it was almost night, and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, including the cows and calves, were very tired, they decided to take their rest on the riverbank. In the middle of the night, while they were taking rest, there was suddenly a great forest fire, and it quickly appeared that the fire would soon devour all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. As soon as they felt the warmth of the fire, they immediately took shelter of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although he was playing just like their child. They began to say, "Our dear Krishna, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, our dear Balaram, the reservoir of all strength, please try to save us from this all-devouring and devastating fire. We have no shelter other than you. This devastating fire will swallow us all." Thus they prayed to Krishna, saying that they could not take any shelter other than his lotus feet. Lord Krishna, being compassionate upon his own townspeople, immediately swallowed up the whole forest fire and saved them. This was not impossible for Krishna, because he is unlimited. He has unlimited power to do anything he desires. Thus ends the Bhakti-Vedanta purport of the 17th chapter of Krishna, extinguishing the forest fire. Okay. Nice. And we have some questions saved up. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Shri Ganga.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Good to hear you.
Hare Krishna.
This story of Krishna devouring the forest fire, because actually there are two, one after another, which come from Krishna devouring forest fires. What, is there any specific significance for the devotees in terms of sometimes Krishna kills different demons or performs different pastimes? Sometimes the acharyas mention specific significances.
Sometimes they give a... symbolic, you can say, explanation that this demon symbolizes this or that demon symbolizes that. I'm not that familiar with what would be involved here in terms of a symbolic assignment. I don't know whether the charters have said something here. Certainly it indicates that Krishna is able to give all protection to the devotees. There are so many things that are
Well, Bhagavad Gita, lust is compared to fire. Dushpuri and Anulinacha. And there's so many other fiery circumstances in the material world, as we know. But Krishna gives protection to the devotees. With fire of birth and death. The samsara dhavanala divaloka. The material world is compared to a forest fire. Nobody wants a forest fire, Srila Prabhupada said. And still, spontaneously, the reeds are rubbing against one another and it occurs. And then your fire brigade can't do anything, but if there's cloud burst, then at once extinguished. So the material existence is compared to a forest fire. And it can't be extinguished by pious activities, it can't be extinguished by mental speculation, it can't be extinguished by any other means. But if we get some mercy from Krishna through the bona fide spiritual master, then the fire of birth and death can at once be extinguished. So Krishna is the protector, either in person or through his representative, from all the perils of material existence. That is there. No straightforward meaning. So symbolic, Krishna's doing it. These friends are in peril and Krishna's protecting them. So Krishna can protect us also. Is that okay?
Very nice. Mm-hmm.
Look skeptical.
No, not at all. Okay. I was thinking of another thing, actually, because what happens is we see that the attitude of the cowherd boys and the inhabitants of Vrindavan is a very intimate relationship with Krishna. But still, sometimes in the background, that attitude of being completely dependent on him as their saviour and master, and even as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sort of comes up to the forefront in these pastimes. And they recognize that Krishna is not just their most wonderful, lovable friend, but sometimes in times of emergency, they naturally turn to him.
Of course they turn to him, but it's not... Of course, Srila Prabhupada writes that, oh Krishna, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it may be there in the text. But it seems that he's just Krishna. And Krishna is the right person to protect us. He's very strong. Among the cowherd boys, Balaram is very strong, and Krishna's known for doing wonderful things. So he may or may not be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he's wonderful, that's all. And if anyone can protect us, Krishna can protect us. These boys confidently strode into the mouth of Aghasura. Anyway, even if it's a snake, Krishna will protect us. They were confident like that. We have such a wonderful friend as Krishna. Maybe he's a demigod. Nanda Maharaj was the coward boy. He's so wonderful, he does such wonderful things. Maybe one of the demigods has appeared in our village. So they're yoga mayas acting, so they're the realization of Krishna's identity as the Personality of Godhead doesn't overshadow the relationship of spontaneous love. What else might be bubbling up in there someplace? Krishna is all-powerful, their problem is nothing is impossible for Krishna.
Literally happened, or they are symbolical. So Some devotees have discipline, some devotees.
Prabhupada presented that these are Krishna's a person and he performs activities, and these are the activities. Sometimes there was some very, what's the word? One devotee who didn't have so much faith in things, and Prabhupada said, oh, you can take it as symbolic if you like. I don't, but you can. You know, that sort of thing. If, you know, if it'll help you out, you can think of it as symbolic. It's not, but you can think that way. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also does that at some point. He wrote that book. What is it? Not Chaitanya Shikshamrita. Harinam
Chaitanya?
No, it's one of the lesser known works. I've forgotten what his name is. An early, it sort of represents a compromise with the scientific worldview regarding cosmology and all of that. And presents things in a way that would be acceptable to the rationalists of his time. And he says there, you know, it's not really like this, but we'll present it like this. Now, I don't really accept it this way, but here, let's spin it out and you can chew on this. But Krishna is a person. And why can't he do these things? What's the difficulty for him to dance on the hoods of Kaliya or to swallow a forest fire? It's small stuff. If you can create millions of universes, then knocking off a few demons is easy business. Or doing anything wonderful. So these activities have been presented to us as literal activities of Krishna, not as allegorical. And sometimes, in fact, Sri Prabhupada would become angry if some devotee invented an allegorical explanation of Krishna's pastimes. We're not meant to do that. If anyone doesn't have confidence in Krishna's protection, then Charu's here with a sword. Is that the sword of knowledge, or is that a different sword?
It's the sword of knowledge.
It's the sword of knowledge. Okay.
Part question. Obviously, you mentioned that Yogamaya covers the residents of Vrindavan. Does that mean that their relationship is therefore fake with Krishna because it has to be covered for them to experience?
It's not fake, it's real. Yogamaya is in charge of reality, she's in charge of the reality of the spiritual world. So what she creates in the material world is illusion, and what she creates in the spiritual world is reality. So if Yogamaya creates the appearance of something, it is real. Or what would you say? No, if she creates the appearance of something, it, what's the word, nourishes reality. So if Yogamaya, for example, creates the appearance that there are demons in the spiritual world, there aren't demons in the spiritual world, but the impression that there are demons nourishes the reality of the transcendental loving relationships between Krishna and his devotees. So they're a contribution to reality. Even though we might say, well, they're not real, but that creation fosters the ultimate reality of the transcendental loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees. Okay? Yes?
I was just wondering, in the Gita, Krishna says in this verse, Naham Prakasa Sarva.
Yoga Maya Samavrita.
So in the translation, it says, for the foolish and ignorant are covered by Krishna's internal potency.
Mm.
I was just wondering why it's Yoga Maya Samavrita, because generally, I thought the understanding is that non devotees are covered by Mahamaya.
Mahamaya is the portion of Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya covers. Yoga Maya has two functions, to reveal and to conceal. So she reveals sometimes and she conceals sometimes. She conceals Krishna's identity as the personality of Godhead from devotees like Mother Yashoda, and also from non-devotees. When she's covering the mudhas, then she's acting is through the Mahamaya potency.
So Mahamaya is like the remote cause of Yoga Maya overriding.
No, the remote would be Yoga Maya. The immediate would be Mahamaya. Or you can say that Mahamaya is the subdivision, or Yoga Maya axis through Mahamaya into the world. And what other questions might we have? I wonder.
Maharaj, some devotees and I were discussing about whether we give proper attention to the real things that will improve our spiritual life. So we were saying that devotees might, or at least in my example, like read the back of something that we're going to purchase, like food, and really make sure that there's nothing non-vegetarian there. But then make a flippant remark about a devotee quite easily, and be really stringent about some things, but that remark about devotee might completely kill our spiritual life. Whereas, you know, if we accidentally have, I don't know, something like a piece of onion or something, it's not
at the end of the world.
So I was just thinking, like, and then I was also thinking like back to university, like some people do really well on exams because they knew what the actual, like somebody might be working hard but not focusing on the right thing to pass the exam.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you can perhaps share, like, if there's things to avoid or...
Well, Vaishnava opera is certainly a thing to avoid. We were discussing that this morning in class of the matter. And here it's come up in the history of Shobhari Muni. And it comes up in so many places, Durvasa Muni, Shobhari Muni. Many examples. In Chaitanya, there are many examples also. That's Ramchandra Khan, Ramchandra Puri. How by Vaishnav aparadha, aparadha means offense. How by offending the devotees of Krishna, devotees of God, one is offending God himself. If God is more offended, if you offend God, well, okay, he can brush it off if he likes, but if you offend his devotee, he becomes more disturbed, more displeased. So we're warned throughout Vedic literature, don't badmouth the devotees of the Lord, don't offend the devotees. qualities of the Lord. One is advised again and again and again to take this seriously. Of course, positively, Lord Chaitanya says, Trinada peace when each chain of Tarora and peace Ishmana. Amanina Manade. Kirtani Sanadi. Always chant Hare Krishna, being humble like the tolerant like the tree and humble like the grass, offering all respect to others, not expecting respect for yourself. If you do that, then automatically you're not going to be offending. You're going to be giving respect even to the ant, what to speak of the Vaishnavas. So in one sense, that instruction by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will include everything. We know some devotees, their nature is so nice that they can't be offensive. It's against their nature to be offensive because they're so humble, they're so, what's the word? Soft. Such nice devotees. Now the rest of us who aren't so nice at least should be careful. We should try to become humble, tolerant, respectful to others. And we should also be a little careful. Am I inadvertently or intentionally speaking ill of the devotees who've dedicated their lives to the service of Krishna? That you should be very careful about. There's a one should try to grasp the essence of things. In every religious tradition, there are people who are concerned with fastidiousness over unimportant details, as if Pharisees and Sadducees and various kinds of people who are punctilious about particular details, and then royally miss trample on the essence of the thing. And so they're very particular about what time to break a fast, but on the other side they'll get on the internet and start bad-mouthing Vaishnavas. In the Bible you found these people who were very punctilious about whether or not to do this or that on the Sabbath, but they had no qualms about bad-mouthing Jesus. So that idea is there, that once you try to see to the essence of the thing, and not there's a Christian author that Rabindra Swarup Prabhu sometimes cites, who did an interesting study on sort of, among other things, the pseudo things that people do in spiritual life to cover their own the inadequacy in their spiritual development. And this is one of them, to be very visibly punctilious, very particular about all the rules and regulations, at the same time that they're missing the substance of their spiritual practice or their spiritual development. That's also mentioned by Rupa Goswami as Niyamagraha, to be very particular, over-particular about the rules and regulations for their own sake without seeing the important things. Yeah? What else do we have this evening?
We see how we have such nice literatures that Prabhupada has given us. Like, for example, Nectar of Devotion, where the whole science of Bhakti Yoga is so beautifully unfolded for us to gradually, on reading and reading and reading and rereading, comprehend. Oftentimes, there doesn't appear to be a lot of impetus in many devotees' lives for a long time to actually get round to really making a careful collective study of these important literatures. So what can be done? How can the devotees migrate towards getting a taste for these literatures?
How do we get a taste for reading the books? Well, somehow or other, especially by association. If we associate with those who have a taste for reading, then you know they'll say, come on, let's read, let's hear. And that's very good for us if we can seek out that kind of association. Or otherwise, even two weak men, you know, they can both recognize, hey, we're both weak. If we're going to read, we better get together and then, you know, help each other out. That may be good. Or by scheduled programs, like this program is very nice. You sort of don't have to do anything except show up. And then there's reading of Krishna's pastimes, discussion of Krishna Katha. So that will help us. Or Bhagavatam, the regular class in the Bhagavatam. And we're advised, you have taste or no taste, just sit. Just sit and hear. And the result will be, you'll get a taste. In the beginning, there may not be much taste, but if we go on hearing, go on hearing, go on hearing, the taste will develop. So that's called Vaidhi Bhakti. As a matter of duty, I don't have much of a taste, but anyway, Guru Maharaj said, so I do it. Then over time, the taste will come. It's tasteful by nature. The example given, the sugar candy that's taken as an antidote for jaundice, doesn't taste very sweet in the beginning because we have jaundice. But by taking, it becomes sweet. Sometimes we may have dramatic performances also, and that Prabhupada one time attended a drama of one pastime for Krishna book. He said that the play was better than the book. And that's mentioned in Nectar of Devotion, that attending such performances, the devotees experience different kinds of ecstasy. I see. Or by explaining to others. And if we're sort of all among ourselves, we may sometimes sort of lose the thread. But when we're faced with when we take up the charitable act of distributing Krishna consciousness to others, then people ask us questions, or we're looking for something to say. And if we're not armed or supplied with knowledge, then we feel deficient. So that's good. Then we think, wow, I better go back and read something about this so that I can answer that question next time, or so that I can send this person the answer to that question. Alternatively, those who have an internet problem, who are addicted to useless topics on the internet and useless discussions, could turn their attention to a genuine Krishna Katha, appreciative reading of Krishna Katha discussion.
With regards to the rules and regulations, particularly meticulously following, there's some mention in the Shastras that, if you perform devotional service unknowingly, like for example, you keep Ekadashi strictly up, but you don't know that it's like you're not a devotee, even then you'll get it back, or you worship Tulsi Devi. Science works, the Vedic rules and regulations work even if you don't believe in it, even if you have no faith in it.
Yeah, even if we don't have faith in the Vedic practices, if we inadvertently, just like penicillin, you may not have faith in it, but if you take it for the thing it needs to be taken for, relax. So chanting Hare Krishna, or seeing the deity, or offering something, will give us benefit. But of course, when it's performed with devotion and faith, it will give us more benefit.
So then, like, does it make sense to still, you know, try to get, you know, get back the relationship there or something?
Mm-hmm.
Or, yeah, but does it still make sense, you know, like, to get back the dasha strictly, or, you know?
Makes sense too?
To, you know, like, for example, get back the dasha strictly, or...
Kadashi, what about it?
Keep it strictly, because it gives such, you know, huge devotional benefit.
We should do it. It's not that the root two things. To become to become fanatical about the rules and regulations, and to be neglectful. Either, you know, you can jump off the starboard side, you can jump off the port side, you have your choice. Either way, you're going to be in the ocean. So we're advised not to jump off either side, not to neglect observing Ekadasi and so on. And not to be just so caught up in Ekadasi that we forget about the purpose of Ekadasi. Both things should be there. Mm-hmm. Well, yes?
Could you explain about the purpose of Ekadasi?
Ekadasi's purpose. Yeah, the purpose is to increase our love and devotion for Krishna. That's actually the purpose. And by the idea is that by observing some austerity, some voluntary inconvenience, we increase our devotion. That's the idea. Increase our devotion and our remembrance of Krishna. The actual... Of course, we undergo a little inconvenience to do without grains and beans on a Ekadasi. A little minor torture, not very difficult thing. Otherwise, Prabhupada said real Ekadasi means completely fasting and stay up all night chanting glories of the Lord. That's the real thing. But in any case, on a Ekadasi, if we use the time for increasing our chanting, increasing our hearing, that's the best thing. It's not just, okay, I didn't need any beans, I didn't need any grains, but positively to hear more about Krishna, to chant more, to give some extra attention to cultivating our love for Krishna. Simplifying our eating means you get more time.
Keeping it Ekadasi like strictly, and then but the whole Bhagavad Gita that they are, you know, that like Srimad Bhagavatam, like,
so yeah, you can do so much if you say, like, on this day I'm going to do more. You can do a lot more. Now people, they put set aside a day, okay, today I'm going to clean my house, you know, clean the garage, or you know, whatever it is. You just focus on that business that day, or today I'm going to catch up on all my email, or whatever it is. So then you can accomplish a lot because you focus, and you know that today is the day for this. So if you make Ekadasi a day for increasing your Krishna consciousness, chanting more, hearing more, using the time for in one way or another increasing your devotional service, can you really do a lot with counseling? Get together, devotees can get together and have kirtan and counseling. Very nice.
Maharaj, I also heard that Bhaktivinoda Thakur said to analyze the spiritual life, every Ekadasi is something natural.
That can also be done. The Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur apparently said that on Ekadasi, or periodically, you do a review. Even in business, you look and say, okay, in the past quarter, what did we achieve? What didn't we achieve? So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends essentially an assessment that periodically we look and say, you know, what progress did I make over the past, say, since from the last Ekadasi to this Ekadasi? Am I moving forward? Am I making progress? He also says, Madhavatiti Bhakti Jan. Ekadasi is the mother, Madhavatiti is another name of Ekadasi. It's the mother of devotion. Prabhupada explained one time that it's like a sail. When a company, Marks and Spencers or somebody, they hold a sale. And what's the purpose? It's to attract new customers. You know, a half price off sale, whatever it is. So Krishna holds a sale on Ekadasi. If you perform devotional activities on Ekadasi, it's more effective. You get more benefit. So the idea is to attract customers. But we can take advantage. Everyone likes a sale, right? In America, they have announcements, attention, shoppers, you know, and then there's like whatever it is. Take advantage of this special one-time offer. Yes?
So we have also the Purushottam month, which we're currently going through, and this seems to be like a hyper sale.
Yes, hyper sale. This month called Purushottam month is again an opportunity for increasing our love for Krishna. Crunch, crunch, crunch.
What's the difference between reading Srila Prabhupada's books and practicing, as they say? Because let's say you sit around reading books all day, you may be accused of not wanting to practice.
Well, there's two ways of looking at that. You sit around reading the books all day and you're accused of not practicing. One is that the criticism may not be too far off, that somebody's making a show of reading all day, but he's, you know, not really reading, and he's a shirker, you know, he's shirking work. That may be there. Or it can also be that he's reading the books, but he hasn't really gotten the message that the books are about serving, and I should do something. I should do something. So that may be a possibility. Another possibility is that he's really a person who appreciates the books and wants to try to understand the books very nicely, and he's going through all this trouble to distribute books and encourage people to read the books, and here's a person who finally wants to read the books, and we're saying, well, you know, sometimes it's even a joke that as long as you're outside, we're encouraging you to read the books, chant Hare Krishna, and then you come to and join the society, and we say, hey, put those books away, you know, we've got work for you to do. So from the other side, if we see that there's some person who's really enthusiastic about reading the books, that may be a very good sign and encourage. So there are certain sections of devotees who are really be enlivened by reading the books, studying the books, discussing the books, writing about the books. That can be encouraged also.
Another question on the preaching point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Is with your success in spiritual life and also material life, like proportional to what extent you believe that Krishna is the Supreme God. Like for yourself, like you seem to be so convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like, why would you say that is? Like, you know, when we read Krishna book, how can we explain and understand ourselves that it's not all mythology?
I missed the how different strands of your question were connected. You talked about success in material and spiritual life, and I didn't see how.
Yeah, how successful you are in spiritual life, is that determined by how to what extent you believe that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead?
Is how successful you are in spiritual life dependent on how, on your faith in Krishna's being the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Yeah, the relationship is there. The more you have faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality, in one sense, that is success in spiritual life. Spiritual life is the step-by-step development of faith. And of Shraddha. It starts as some preliminary faith, and it develops more by association with devotees and performing devotional activities and cleansing away the unwanted things in the heart, then getting firm faith. And that same step-by-step development of faith comes to the point, finally, of love for Krishna. So that development of faith is very important. But even a faithless person, Samshayat-Vimashati, a person who's just full of doubts, will go nowhere. But even a person who doesn't have faith, if he associates with devotees who have faith in Krishna, then he can make progress. Shraddhana Purusha Tamas Yasya Purantapa. Without faith, one won't reach Krishna. It will continue to rotate in material existence. Shru Shusho Shraddhana Sya Vasudeva Katavachi Syam Hatsaya Dipla Dimitri Sharana. By service and by hearing in the association of devotees, we'll get that taste and make progress. Hearing Vasudev Katha with faith will be helpful. Faith doesn't necessarily mean in the beginning conviction, but at least it means a submissive openness. Prabhupada called it submissive oral reception. I may not be convinced about everything I hear, but I have a submissive, I'm not challenging what I hear. All right, that's what they thought he's saying. The preliminary, even theoretical acceptance will gradually mature into firm conviction. And that's a sign of an advanced devotee. Elsewhere in Bhagavatam, it's traced that the neophyte devotee has not much philosophical understanding and not much faith. And the Madhyamanikari has maybe not so much philosophical knowledge, he has more philosophical knowledge, but his faith is strong. And the advanced devotee has firm straight, firm faith and full knowledge also. But as we develop our knowledge of Krishna consciousness, our faith will increase. Okay. Not blind faith, as Prabhupada points out. Not just blind faith. But by hearing, and so much is said in Vedic literature to enlighten us about the science of Krishna. So by hearing, we develop our understanding, and by understanding, our faith increases. Yes?
Tanner had a question.
I had a question about reincarnation.
Okay.
I was wondering, is it reincarnation, is it optional, you choose what you reincarnate to, or is it more of a random kind of a selection to what you reincarnate to?
Well, it's not random, and it's not exactly up to us. The idea is, it's kind of like going to the store. When you go to the store, there's what you want, and there's also how much you can what you can afford to pay for. You know, you might want a new iPad or something, but if all you've got is like 10 quid in your pocket, then you may have to settle for something else. So we have some desires in our life, and we also have some credit. And at the time we leave this body, our desires and our credit are all tallied up, and that determines where we go. The person made, yes, according to our credit, we can go to a higher position, or if we don't have so much credit, we go to a lower position. And according to our desire also, person desires to live this way or that way. Or in the Bhagavad Gita also it said, according to what we think of at the time of dying. You know, the person, the Maharaj, thought of a deer at the time of death. In the next life he was born as a deer. Okay?
Thank you.
And if you think of Krishna, you got Krishna. Then you get free from birth and death. Is that good?
Maharaj's follow-up question is, how do you build credit so you can afford the iPhone?
An iPad is nothing, we want a K-pad. K-pod. To reach the lotus pod of Krishna, the lotus feet of Krishna. So that by chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, the idea is, actually, that by constantly thinking of Krishna, we can mold our life in such a way that the next life, we'll go to Krishna. Simple idea, actually. Just think of Krishna, think of Krishna, and how to think of Krishna by chanting.
In our Bhagavad Gita, a question came up about one of Prabhupada's purports.
Mm.
We couldn't understand it, and perhaps you can help. Prabhupada's talking about Sankhya in chapter 2, verse
39.
Mm. And it seems like a contradiction, but Prabhupada says that the Sankhya that's described in that verse isn't
the Sankhya philosophy
of Kapila,
mm-hmm.
nor is it the Sankhya that's spoken about in the Bhagavatam.
Mm.
But then Prabhupada says, therefore Lord Krishna Sankhya and Lord Kapila Sankhya, as described in the Bhagavatam, are one and the same.
Mm. Yeah. There's a sort of extensive Sankhya philosophy described in Srimad Bhagavatam. There's also an atheistic version by a different Kapil Dev involving analysis of so many elements. But here in Bhagavad Gita, it's a simple distinction between matter and spirit. This is Sankhya philosophy. Second chapter of Bhagavad Gita deals with the distinction between matter and spirit. But the conclusion is the same. Kapila Dev's, the son of Devahuti, his his Sankhya philosophy concludes that we're spirit souls, we're part and parcel of Krishna, our business is to serve Krishna. And the Bhagavad Gita, the same conclusion is there.
So the essence of both philosophies, it's just that the reason I was confused, that is, or we were confused, is that Prabhupada is saying that even that Sankhya has nothing to do with the current topics.
Yeah.
The Bhagavatam Sankhya.
Yeah. The idea is that, what is it, Sankhya Yoga, Bala, Pratak Bala, no, that's third chapter, what is it here? Yatcha Sankhya Prapiti Sthanam, that's also third chapter.
Bhutya Yoga. Yukta ya partha karma bandham parasyasi. It's number 39, the diacritics aren't coming up, so I can't.
Yeah, that's okay. Then.
It's 239.
Yeah, but what does it say?
I can't read it more, sorry, my phone.
Yeah, read it in French.
I can. The translation is thus far.
No, in Sanskrit French.
But Marge, the characters don't come up because the Veda-based website doesn't.
Oh, let's see what we've got. Like probably make something out of it. Oh, Eshate Vihita Sankhya.
Okay, thus far I've described to you Sankhya philosophy. So Krishna says, thus far I've described to you Sankhya philosophy. And so someone may say, what is this Sankhya philosophy? And someone says, well, it's the Sankhya philosophy described by the atheistic Kapila. Prabhupada says, no, it's not bad. And someone says, well, it's the Sankhya philosophy described by the son of Devahuti in third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada says, no, it's not that either. And what is it? It's discrimination between matter and spirit. That's the idea. This is not, the Sankhya philosophy here is not the complex analysis of the two material elements that's described in Srimad Bhagavatam. That's a big subject matter. It takes so many chapters to elaborate. Here, the Sankhya just means discriminating between matter and spirit. That's the idea. That therefore, probably the topics here don't have anything to do with that. It's like it's not that rigorous study entailed in Sankhya philosophy of Devahuti. Simple, and not this body and the spirit soul.
And the reason why he reconciles it at the end, saying they're the same, is because the
conclusion is you're going to follow it, you're going to lead to the same conclusion.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I had one devotee I was talking to this morning, and I showed him our mechanical man that we made in Croon back in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
the sort of half man, half machine. Mm-hmm. And he was expressing how it was really hard for him to get to grips with this. He's been practicing devotional service for quite a few years, but he's still struggling with this idea about the separation between the soul and the body, and this idea. I mean, he's still really eager and enthusiastic for it, but he just really struggles with this concept.
Well, you might give him the article that illustration was made to go with. I think it was called The Mechanical Mr. Jones.
Okay.
It was written by Sadhguru Prabhu, and it appeared in Back to Godhead, so it would be there in the database. If he wants, you know, sort of a serious scientific presentation of the subject. Mm-hmm.
Chris, could you please speak on this description that we are part and parcel? Could you explain that?
Part and parcel. Yeah, part and parcel is essentially a British legalistic term. You know, part in old law, old legal documents, and maybe even modern legal documents, because lawyers tend to write in old language so they pay in their fees. You'll find this part and parcel term be translated as an integral part. A part and parcel is really just is really part. You could just say that we're parts of Krishna. But Prabhupada uses that idiom, part and parcel.
Part and parcel of God.
Yeah, part and parcel of God. That means we're part of God. But then part and parcel can carry the sort of extra connotation of integral part. Integral part.
And yet we are separated?
Yes, we're also separated. Separated by our own turning away from Krishna. Otherwise, the material energy is called separated energy from Krishna. But the living entities are, for that, from that point of view, the integral parts.
But if we are unborn, then how can we be separated?
How can we?
If you're unborn, how can we be separated?
If we're unborn, how can we be separated? By turning away from Krishna. The child is part of your family, but he turns away from the family. How can he do that? He's part of the family. But due to some whimsical idea or whatever, gets some notion in his head, I've had enough of this family, and shoots off to live in the streets. But he's still, the parents are thinking he's our boy. But he's thinking, I don't have anything to do with them. Who are they? So it's like that. We're parts of Krishna no matter what. And Krishna doesn't forget the living being. But we work overtime to forget Krishna. To deny our actual identity. Our actual identity is that we're part of Krishna. That we're denying that we're part and parcel. Mm-hmm.
So the parcel idea is like a separate, discrete unit, but definitely a part of that same whole.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we can. I wouldn't work too hard on overanalyzing the expression. It's what they call a set phrase in English, part and parcel. There are some other examples of set phrases that comes to mind. But that's certainly a set phrase there, part and parcel. Yeah.
It's very nice when Krishna explains Mama Ivamshu.
That's the thing. We're integral parts of Krishna. Set phrases are just ways of expressing something.
Through and through?
Hmm?
Through and through? Within and without?
Through and through. Yes, sort of a set phrase. Like head over heels, there's a set phrase. A person's head over heels in love, right? Now if you analyze it logically, it doesn't make any sense. Because your head is always over your heels. Right? The heels are down there, the head's up here. So, if you know, you're a translator and you say head over heels, and then you scratch your head and you say, it's over my heels. I don't get it. What's going on here? And you analyze it. And the answer is it's a set phrase. It's just a way of saying exceedingly or madly or something like that. So we say head over heels in love, and everyone who knows the idiom says the guy is just infatuated or absorbed in this loving relationship. But the idiom itself can't be overnamed. Head over heels, that has a very special meaning. Head is over. It's a set phrase. So part and parcel is a set phrase. It means a part or an integral part. Parcel doesn't really add very much in a legal sense. Although may perhaps originally in its derivation there was something there, but now part and parcel and part are essentially the same.
Okay, here we go. I head over heels.
Top of your head all the way through to your heel, like every single atom.
See, there you go. You go, no, we can't understand it. Therefore, we're advised to chant Hare Krishna. The mind doesn't have to work too hard on these things. Should we have some more chanting? Okay. That's good. That will, I'm sure that will solve the head over heels question. Yeah.
Question. Unless we're chanting.
Oh. What?
I just had a question on, like, when Krishna spoke to Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, he said he spoke it to the sun god originally, and this idea that the disciplic succession broke and he's starting it again now. I'm just wondering how it breaks.
Sakale neha mahata yoga nash. It breaks over time. And Prabhupada explains it breaks when there's deviation. Just like you can break the disciplic succession if you start speculating and adding some things, subtracting something, then it'll be a break. And if you faithfully repeat what you've heard as it is, without adding, without subtracting, without changing, then you can carry on the disciplic succession. And Krishna says over a long time it broke. It's like so many people write commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. Kurukshetra means this, and Pandavas means that, and they just speculate away. So then meaning will be lost. So therefore Prabhupada practically drummed into our heads, don't add, don't subtract, don't change. You can properly represent the disciplic succession. And go forward. And we were going to chant Hare Krishna. We can. We will chant Hare Krishna.
Do you
want
to chant?
I can chant, or someone else can chant. You're the manager. Tell us what to do. If I'd like to chant. Okay. Car Charles. Keep thinking. Are those better in summary?
I don't know.
Let's see what's going on here. These are good. Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prithaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami
Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachadesha Tarine
Namaste
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Bhavani Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Bhakti Vedanta Swami Raj Prabhupad Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Pariprad Upacharya Ashtotra Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Raj Prabhupad Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Fame Sakaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindi Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gokubina Shamakura Radha Kumigiri Gurdhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai Vrindit Tham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Ki Jai Gangamai Ki Jai Jamanamai Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrindaki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande.
We're bringing some prasadam around for everyone, so if you'd like to just spread around or spread over into the other part of the house as well, and comfortably take some prasadam. Thank you all very much.
This is
the homemade
jam.
Thank you very much.
Ginger and rhubarb. Rhubarb is grown in our kitchen.
Oh. Is it offered?
No, it's for.
Oh, good. Thank you very much. Ginger jam. Rhubarb and ginger.
Rhubarb and ginger.
Wow. Thank you very, very much. We're just discussing jam today.
Really? At the menu?
No, here.
Oh, okay.
Having a discussion about jam. Now jam has appeared.
It's amazing the power of...
power of thoughts.
We didn't know you had been embarrassed. You were talking about jam.
Oh, really? Yeah, we were having a discussion.